This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Repeatedly throughout this campaign, I will not raise taxes on anyone making $250,000 or less.
We're going to cut taxes massively. We're going to cut business taxes massively. They're going to start hiring people. We're going to bring the $2.5 trillion that's offshore back into the country. We are going to start the engine rolling again, because right now our country is dying at 1% GDP.
All right, that's a little slice of the last debate between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. Wow, we're less than 3 weeks, until we elect a new president that will occupy 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. What's really coming out, however, and we'll let you hear this later as we move along, out of the debate is a couple of quick quotes, and we're going to go to Ellen Ratner in a second, where she was there, where Donald Trump said that Clinton said to Clinton, such a nasty woman, such a nasty woman. And there were a couple of those defining moments. Ellen, you were there. Wow. What an experience, huh, in this last one?
Yes, it certainly is. Actually, I'm still here. I'm in the spin room right now as things are happening. So they're still spinning even after the debate like this. But, you know, it's interesting because Donna Brazile said that she felt, she didn't use these words exactly, I'm having a senior moment, but basically that some of the emails had been tampered with or altered. And then when asked for evidence of that, she couldn't come up with any. I thought that was very interesting.
Boy, no kidding. You heard me mention at the top that one of the things that Trump now, he keeps getting pulled out and tweeted, the whole idea that he muttered such a nasty woman. So it seemed as though he did fine in the beginning of the debate, and then he just became unraveled and took the bait. Was it? Did you see it that way?
I was here with all the press. We were all watching it. I felt like each side got in their sort of points in a nasty way, but I thought it was much more mixed and nuanced, I thought, tonight.
Yeah, so you're saying it wasn't all just Trump with a few quick clips or quips, rather. There was more to it than that. I agree with you on Chris Wallace. I think across the board he's getting high marks.
Very high marks, and that's been very, very interesting. The other thing that I think is really interesting is that they asked Donald Trump if he would accept the results of this election, but they didn't ask Hillary Clinton that.
I know. I thought that was interesting, too. And, of course, you heard what his answer was, and there's a lot being pumped out about that as well. I was just looking at something from Dick Morris, who said, you know what, whoever's going to win this election, it's not going to be because they refuse to accept election results. But we haven't heard that before from any of the candidates. Were you surprised by that?
I was very surprised by it, honestly. I mean, frankly, this entire election and everything around it has been shocking to me. I mean, like, I've been covering every election in some way. I wasn't really out on the trail because I was doing long-form radio in 92, but I've been covering every election since 92. You know, 24 years worth of elections, and I'm just quite shocked, frankly.
Yeah, and
the whole thing is shocking.
In covering the election, you've watched polls before. Could the polls be that wrong if she gets a big blowout margin? Because that's being said, too.
Well, actually, they were wrong in 2 weeks before the election in 1980 when it was Reagan versus President Carter. And they had Carter winning the election by 7, 8, 9 points. I can't remember. I don't have it in front of me. But obviously, Carter didn't win that election.
Yeah.
So, I think we don't know.
That's what I think, too. You agree with that. You, me, and Bob Ney, I think we're the ones saying the coin flip, that we really think it's a coin flick, flip of the coin, rather. How about the story about...
Quickly, I think what's going to happen is that people are going to go into that voting booth, they're going to vote for Trump, and they're going to come out and tell the poll watchers that they're voting for Hillary,
I think that, too. I agree. Hey, I agree, absolutely. Hey, last one, because I know you're there in the spin room, which is very cool that you're coming to us live from there. I hope everyone appreciates that. But how about the story about paying protesters? Because even Trump kind of mentioned that they're paying protesters. Not good, huh? We had the congresswoman's husband caught on tape.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, it is unbelievable. We'll see. I think that's going to be a bigger story, too.
But we'd have to, again, they've been known to edit tapes before, like with the Planned Parenthood, so we got to figure that out.
I agree.
But if it's true, it's horrible.
I agree, absolutely. Ellen Ratner, thanks so much for joining us live from Nevada. Bye-bye.
You got it.
So how about that? You heard what Ellen said, and I mentioned that I think I agree with her 100%. And she said she's been covering elections for a long time. I think people will say they're not voting for Donald Trump, and that many of them will go in and they will vote for Trump, and you'd be surprised at what the results will be. I think it does come down to the wire. This is not on any side of this. It's just not a gimme. I just really believe that, and this is, we were mentioning about the polls, and we've seen this before, but it's been a very long time. That's what I think, too. By the way, a pair of Democratic strategists backing Hillary Clinton's campaign for president, they're stepping down after a video surfaced that showed their staff plotting disruptions at Donald Trump rallies. Robert Kramer, the founder of Democracy Advocates and the husband of Democratic Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky of Illinois, said Tuesday that he was stepping back from his role after a conservative activist released a video appearing to show them plotting to disrupt his campaign events. And in the video, you can see that he and some other strategists are advising protesters to get captured on camera, causing a commotion. And so it looks like where there's smoke, there may be fire, and the video also shows Scott Fovell, the national field director for the Progressive American United for Change, explaining how anti-Trump protesters are paid. He also says mentally ill and homeless people were paid to disrupt rallies. Wow. And of course, there was that mention of it at the debate. Well, that was one of the things that was said, and that's why Fovell said on video that her campaign paid the DNC, and the DNC pays Democracy Partners, and Democracy Partners pays the Fovell Group, and the Fovell Group, etc., and that's how it all rolls downhill. So pretty interesting, I think, that little nugget. But like Ellen said, you still have to vet out that story, but you do have things on tape that absolutely do not make any sense. And I believe the polls are showing different things across the board. We're going to talk more about that and let you hear some more of the debate next here on America Tonight.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Should write us yet another letter saying thank you very much. Because Iran, as I said many years ago, Iran is taking over Iraq, something they've wanted to do forever, but we've made it so easy for them.
The Affordable Care Act extended the solvency of the Medicare Trust Fund. So if he repeals it, our Medicare problem gets worse.
More slices of the debate, some of what was said. We'll go through this as we move along. So a lot of personal exchanges. There was the fiery exchanges and the final moments, the final debate between the two, and not an exchange. But there was also, I think, a great job done by Chris Wallace, and there were issues that were actually gotten in from Foreign Affairs to Supreme Court Justice to abortion, gun rights, all of that was mixed in this time around. So it was actually refreshing to hear a little bit more of a deep dive, if I can call it that, for this third debate. Kate Delaney, America Tonight, and that's what we're talking about, the campaign trail, which has been fraught with potholes and pebbles and throwing stones and all of that in between. So, it's just interesting to see how this unfolded in meanings of what happened when they hit the stage, including the fact of how they dressed, no shaking of the hands in the beginning, no shaking of the hands at the end. The families didn't shake hands, so this is war. Which is perhaps why there is so much criticism over Trump's refusal to accept the election results, and it sparked a huge bipartisan debate, blasting the campaign or the presidential campaigns as rigged, and then now at the debate, asked whether he would accept it no matter the outcome, he said, I will tell you at the time, I will keep you in suspense. So you had a lot of politicians like Lindsey Graham, not a friend of Donald Trump, certainly, who has refused to back him, said that doing the party and country a great, he's doing it, the party and the country a great disservice by continuing to suggest the outcome of the election is out of his hands and rigged against him if he loses it will not be because the system is rigged, but because he failed as a candidate. Nancy Pelosi, on the Democratic side, House Democratic leader, said after the debate that just when you think you've seen it all from Donald Trump, he stoops to a new low with his contempt for the sanctity of our elections. Senate Democratic leader Harry Reid tweeted that Trump must immediately reverse course and say he'll accept the results. Well, he's not going to do that. Laura Ingraham said, a longtime conservative talk host, he should have said he would accept the results of the election. There is no option unless we're in a recount again, which I agree, that's ridiculous. Steve Schmidt, a GOP strategist, said the answer was a disqualifying moment and represented a clear and present danger to our constitutional order. So plenty of Republicans are not on board with what Trump said. I would have to agree. Listen, this is what you do. He has to accept the results. That was a snarky comment that, yeah, he didn't need the snarky comment. And that was the whole idea. Why throw it out there? It doesn't make any sense because it gets to that whole bully in the playground thing. Bottom line is, it is a coin flip, my friends. I really believe that. So if you're going to go out and vote, go out and vote. If you do not go out and vote, then you kind of give up your right to whine, I think. It's so important to vote, especially in this election. Let me throw out the phone lines, 855-266-5283, 855-266-5283. Immigration, a big issue. We're going to talk about that in just a second. That obviously was part of this debate as well. Tomas in Michigan, hello.
Can you hear me now?
I got you.
You know, throughout the whole debate, Hillary was talking to politicians. Her whole language was political inside the Beltway speak. You could see people's eyes just glazing over. And Trump, he wasn't talking to politicians. He was talking to people. That was the big thing in this debate. And when it comes to the polls, Kate, look how many people they talk to when they do a poll. It's never over 1,000 people.
No, you're right.
How many people vote? Over 100 million. So that's like one person in every 100,000. That's like if you go to the biggest football stadium in Texas, all right, and it's full of people, and you go and you pick one person and say, who do you think is going to win? That's what that is. You know,
yeah,
I know in Michigan here, right? You got 100,000 people in Big House in Michigan. So the polls are there no longer. They used to be there to reflect the opinion. Now they're there to redirect the opinion. These polls are just money making. I tell you, before I was elected to a little Republican position here in Michigan, I never ever got a call from a political poll. After I was elected, all the time. You know why? Hey, when they say our poll is only registered voters, you know why they say that? Because they know how the registered voters voted. So they know they needed to vote for some conservative cause, they'd call me. If they needed to, you know, vote for somebody else, then they called it. It's just, now that is definitely rigged. And at the end, if you notice this whole the year of Trump, shall we say, anytime he gets an answer which is obvious that he has to answer one way, he'll answer the other way. This is because of experience. You know, in your business, experience is just huge. You know when to cut in.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, like 10 seconds into a call, whether it's going to be a good call.
Yes,
or,
yeah.
You know, you're going to have to, you know. And so it's almost like, I mean, carpenter, plumber, anything. Experience
is like
another person right there. So he knows. He says, okay, I'm supposed to answer this yes. But if I answer it no, and this he's been doing it all year, if I answer it no, it will be outrageous, and guess who owns the news cycle? And on this question, Kate, you know, they're going to ask him, how could you say that? And then he's going to bring the boom down on him, you see, and he's going to say, well, did you see the WikiLeaks video? Did you see these videos of these people paying homeless, mentally retarded people to cause fights in conventions? Did you see when they were stacking deck against Bernie Sanders? Did you see this? He is going to make so much political, firepower out of that question. If he had just said, yes, of course, boom, he would have lost that. It was like an ambush, an L-shaped ambush that the media just walked right into. Even the conservatives said, oh, my God, how could he answer that way? But, see, it depends what your experience is in. If your experience is in little decisions, you know, then you make your experience is good in little decisions. Trump has experience in big-time decisions, and he felt it. I remember when he said, when they asked him, do you ever ask for forgiveness from God? You know, of course he was going to say yes. He said no. Boom. He owned the whole news cycle that way, you know?
Yeah.
And he is going to own that. He's going to tear it up. That girl, Kellyanne, whatever her name is, or Ann Kelly.
Kellyanne Conway.
Oh, she is going to just jump all over that because they have so much video now of all these people stuffing ballots. Did you see that one where
she
closed her eyes?
I did.
She closed her eyes so she wouldn't get thrown in jail. Like you know, that's going to help her, you know. And so it's going to be an easy. Everybody thought he had to say yes. And you know what? A lot of people said they wanted him to say no so that he would then say, hey, have you seen all the videos? But he didn't go either way. No one
go either way.
Strings. And this way, everybody's got to be talking about it. But realistically, that was the end of the debate, the whole debate. He was talking to the people. Clinton was talking to the politicians. And I tell you, this is my prediction. The white young male who voted for Bernie Sanders, who's a liberal, is going to vote in a protest vote. You watch.
For Donald Trump. Yeah, I think we're going to see a lot of that kind of thing, Tomas, thank you, happening in this election. That's why I say, Democrats, beware. Hang through. We come up next. More on odds and ends and more on that debate.
This is a life-changing message for anyone with sleep apnea who is on the go and tired of dragging around a big, bulky home CPAP device. Now there's finally a portable device that's as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. You can even add a battery that's as tiny as a deck of cards. It's the Transcend Mini CPAP, and if you're one of the first 100 callers, you can try Transcend risk-free for 10 days. So call now, 1-800-441-0335. Transcend is the world's first portable mini CPAP device. It gives you the freedom to sleep in total comfort anywhere you are. Our smallest and most advanced portable design ever, Transcend is so small and so light, you can fit it in your briefcase or purse to use anywhere you go. It's FAA compliant too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. To guarantee your 10-day in-home trial, you must be one of the first 100 callers to call minicpap.com now. 1-800-441-0335. Again, that's 1-800-441-0335.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's F-I-V-E starsoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Think about this. Your community's aging water infrastructure systems are very likely to be contaminated with heavy metals like lead, disinfection chemicals like ammonia, chlorine, and chloramines, and pharmaceuticals like statins, pain meds, and antidepressants.
And no, water treatment plants are not equipped to filter these pharmaceutical toxins out.
Protect your family's water supply with the trusted Big Berkey water filter. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show Big Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria, and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market, the gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters for the love of clean water.
Day, I thought it'd be fun to have my pal Jared Bro on the show, and he is a crisis communications, I mean, just guru, honestly, and everything to do with media training, etc. And he was a member of the media and saw what it was like when people tried to dodge your questions. I think Chris Wallace did an excellent job as moderator, but there were some interesting moments in that debate. There's no question about it. Jared, thanks so much for joining us on America Tonight.
Always my pleasure, Kate.
Well, when we talk about spin and politicians dodging questions, one of the big ones was Hillary Clinton on the whole pay-to-play question with the Clinton Foundation, and she never really answered it.
And that's the big problem that we as Americans face, is that certain politicians are, what I'm going to say, are overtrained not to answer questions. And sadly, the moderators are not always prepared to know what the trainers teach in the avoidance techniques to know how to come back at that candidate and say, I'm sorry, you didn't answer that question. I specifically asked this. And what we're looking at is the frustration of the American populace, in large part because it's tough to get a clear answer from a candidate, whether they're serving in office or whether they're in a debate, because there are people out there in the profession that I am who train spokespeople, who I think those trainers do it wrong and do a disservice, because it gets to the point that if you ask the candidate, is the sky blue, the candidate will say, well, I'll tell you why the sky is not blue. It's because the Environmental Protection Agency needs to do X, Y, and Z. And until they fix the healthcare system, we're not going to have blue skies again. And that's what frustrates Americans, and that's what frustrates people like you and I.
Yeah, so in your training, what do you do? What do you teach CEOs or other people you work with when they're asked those kinds of questions? What do you tell them to do?
Well, the key to anybody talking to the media, whether it's a CEO that I'm working with or a politician, which I seldom ever work with, it's how to tell the truth and pick the best words that explain what you want to do, but to parse your words so that you don't say an inflammatory word that is going to cause a bunch of negative, cynical questions. I remember when I was a reporter, and I did that for 15 years. I haven't done it in the past 22 years. I've been out on my own as a trainer for 22 years. But I remember years ago hearing people at a news conference, for example, or in an interview, say one word that is the wrong word to say, and it sets off my cynic filter. When I was a reporter, everybody always described me as being the most cynical person they had ever met, and it's absolutely true. So for me, it's we have to tell the truth. Pick your words carefully when you're starting to tell the truth. Never lie and never spin.
Yeah, boy, and that's what we see. We see constant spin. Who is better at the art of spin, Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump?
Those two are extreme opposites. Hillary is more of a spin person because she has been at it longer and practicing more. Mm. Trump is, for a trainer, your worst nightmare because he does not like to train. He believes he is more effective when he's spontaneous. And for years, I've met CEOs like him, and I don't take them on as clients. I'll terminate a class if I see someone who's not open to preparing. The art of doing a debate or doing an interview is to practice in private so you don't mess up in public. And Hillary goes to one extreme of going to great lengths never to answer the specific question and to kind of weave a story that is so long that by the time she gets to the end of the answer, you almost forget what it was. Last night was less of a spin night. The second debate was a perfect example of two people both spinning, both candidates spinning, when the very first question came from a mom who says, there have been some vulgar things out in the news today. This was right after Trump's tapes came out. And the mother said, you know, there are so many vulgar things. How do we let our children who have been assigned to watch this debate for school, how do we let them watch without scarring them for life? Mm. And neither candidate ever answered that lady's question. That is spin, and both of them did it, one through training, one because he was the one who had used the most vulgar words that week and simply wouldn't acknowledge it.
Yeah, great observation, absolutely. And we saw that the town hall was perfect for that, and you're right. That was the question that just never, there was never really an answer to that. Of course there wasn't, because that's exactly what you're describing, how Trump is handling it and how Hillary Clinton is handling it. What about if you were Kellyanne Conway, who is the campaign manager for Trump? Imagine that. I like that laugh. When he says under his breath, and actually not even under his breath if the mic is working, when he says lies, liar, when he does that, when he makes those, you know, just kind of interrupts and says the one word, but it gets a lot of play. It gets tweeted out, and people focus on that, and then they're not focusing on even what she's saying.
Yeah, with Kellyanne Conway and really all of the surrogates for each of the candidates, and even the vice presidential candidates for each of the candidates, those are the people who are most in spin. If Donald Trump came out and said, the sky is black, and everybody said, that was the wrong thing to say. Last week you said the sky was white. His surrogates would be on the air in minutes in the spin room saying, well, what the candidate really said was, you know, it's not so much that it's black, it's a dark gray. And that dark gray goes toward more of a pale color, and it's almost the color of a cloud. And those clouds, you know, sometimes they're dark, but they're mostly white. And it's like, people, for goodness sake, CNN is the worst offender. because they pay the surrogates to sit there, and instead of covering the issues, they cover, if I may say, the squabble between the candidates. There was another word I wanted to use, but I'm censoring myself. But rather than cover issues, the media gets sucked into covering the squabbles. And as I was saying earlier, you have to parse your words. You have to pick the most perfect words. And what you see the media jump on this morning in the analysis is who said the wrong word.
Mm.
And the one that committed the biggest sin in the eyes of the media was when Trump said that he was not going to accept the results of the election. And that's created the entire news cycle. One 12-second comment creates an entire news cycle. And that's part of what executives have to work on, is understanding that this affects your reputation and revenue. In public relations, many people worry about this. It affects your reputation. In my world of public relations, it's reputation and revenue. It takes millions of dollars to cover up a sin of one or two misspoken words.
Yeah, and you know, when he said that, it was almost like he was off the cuff, and I think a lot of things are off the cuff with him. That's what we're talking about. And you're right, that's been, besides the few comments on the side, like calling Clinton a nasty woman and bad hombres, but that's more like Twitter and whatnot, not what's being covered on the tube and not so much what's being written about. Was that a huge mistake for Trump?
I tend to think so, but, you know, when you and I have a discussion like this, our social media accounts are going to light up and people are going to perceive that we're biased about something.
When
the reality is, I'm looking at this as a political observer. I don't like either one of these people as far as watching their performance. I think they both have great flaws. And what I worry about when I watch somebody like Trump, the one that got me the most last night was when Hillary said, "You're Putin's puppet." And he said, "No, you're the puppet." And my wife immediately called me, because we had laughed and quoted Saturday Night Live for years where there was a sketch where a puppet would say, "No, you're the dummy," and the other person would say, "No, you're the dummy." And my wife works at a school, and six-year-old boys do this on playground. The thing about it is, what each of these candidates have going for them is one-third of the voting populace love them. And no matter what you do, you will not lose your loyal one-third. And it's the third in the middle who swing like a pendulum that you have to win over in these debates. And those little missteps will just leave a voter at this critical juncture at the end of the campaign who, you know, those middle thirds are where the undecideds are. And it's those little words like, "No, you're the puppet." When you go, "Well, that was completely out of context. Yeah, you just lost me there." And it's those one words that lose that vote for you and cost you dearly for the rest of your life.
Yeah, so it's like you say, when you're working with people, reputation and revenue, it comes back to what we first started talking about. You have to watch your words, correct?
Absolutely. I remember watching an interview with someone who I knew had been trained but had never practiced again lose a $700 million project in a 12-second soundbite because he failed to practice before he went out for that interview. And I'll tell you who's a perfect example for us to use as a case study. Let's look at Gary Johnson, the Libertarian candidate. I was watching MSNBC. I'm a news junkie. I watch seven TV networks in the first 90 minutes of the morning while I'm drinking my coffee, right? So Gary Johnson was being interviewed weeks ago on MSNBC, and one of the anchors said, "What about Aleppo?"
Mm.
And Gary Johnson is now famous for the phrase, "What about Aleppo?" when he asked back, "What about Aleppo?" Whereas if Gary had been through good training, Gary would have been taught to say, "Well, can you be more specific?" So at the time, Gary is, out of the three candidates, the most honest, because immediately afterwards he said, "I'm sorry, I need to be sharper. I need to be better on this stuff. I thought he was using an acronym. I didn't hear the question well enough to realize he was talking about Syria." If Gary had been trained, he would not have just responded to that question by saying, "What about Aleppo?" or "What is Aleppo?" "What is Aleppo?" is what he said. He would have been trained to say, "Can you be more specific?"
Mm.
And at that point, the reporter would have said, "Well, all these Syrian refugees are there, bombings are taking place, et cetera, et cetera." And the question would have come into view, which would have allowed him to say, "Well, in case of Syria, I think we need to do X, Y, and Z." So those 4 seconds, what is Aleppo? cost Gary Johnson a lot of votes, because there were people who were looking at him as a viable third-party candidate who could have jumped on board, but that entire news cycle was consumed with mockery.
Yeah, absolutely. Great, great example, of course. Jared Breaux, thanks so much, as always, for joining us on America Tonight.
Always good to be with you, Kate.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care, as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
Starting. 383. 15.
Well, I've been talking about it, the start of this series. So many interesting pieces of history happening between the Tribe and the Cubs. And the fact that, you know, everybody has burned in their brains 1908, the last time the Cubs won a World Series, over 100 years. But there's history on the side of the Cleveland Indians, too. And this is, I think, a fall classic that a lot of people are going to be talking about. So excited to have Professor Luke Salisbury on with us. He's in our virtual green room. He's a baseball expert and author of a lot of sports books, including The Answer is Baseball, The Cleveland Indian, Blue Eden, and Hollywood and Sunset. I love that title. And also several others as well, and he's contributed to a lot of books. His resume is so long that if I just went down that path, we would never get to talk to Luke. I do want to mention this, though. He was also featured in AMC's Diamonds on the Silver Screen and HBO's Curse of the Bambino, and wrote the Crank column for Boston Baseball. Luke, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm so excited about tonight. So excited.
Boy, so am I. So, I mean, here's the deal. When we look at this, and this is a question I keep getting asked, who's going to win this series, and why do you think they're going to win it? Is it going to be the Chicago Cubs, or let's not forget about the Cleveland Indians?
Well, the Cubs have so much talent. Theo Epstein, who, of course, put together the team that broke the curse in Boston, looks like he's doing the same thing in Chicago, and you just can't give him enough credit. But, you know, I'm an American League fan. If it isn't the Yankees, I root for the American League team. And having gotten so interested in the original Cleveland Indian, how the team got its name and who he was, I must say I'm rooting for the Indians. And they are on a roll. And it's funny because when you call a team of destiny, it usually means they don't have the talent, perhaps, to do what they're doing. And the Indians have steamrolled everybody, especially the Red Sox. So I'm picking the Indians, but that's David versus Goliath.
It is David versus Goliath. And people forget, and you know you've been watching, that the Indians have speed. I mean, they led the league in stolen bases. And, you know, there's some Cub pitchers that have problems keeping guys on bases. I think that this series, by the way, could even go the distance, could be 7 or 6. What do you think?
Well, if it does, I hope they bring out Charlie Sheen. Throw out the pitch in the seventh game. And maybe the Cleveland Indians should bring Steve Bartman, who, of course, was involved in that awful thing with the ball, to lead a goat out onto the field for the seventh game. But, and of course, the pitcher, you make a very good point about Cub pitchers holding men on base. It's John Lester, the former Red Sox, who discovered when he got to the National League, where they run the bases all the time, that he doesn't like throwing to first base. I think it would be very smart of the Indians to bunt and run on John Lester.
Yeah, I certainly do, too. Do you think more people are interested in baseball again? Have we bounced back to a love of baseball? It seems like the numbers are up and the interest is up.
Well, it's very interesting because baseball managed to extend itself from a 2.5-hour game to almost a 4-hour game. It really has totally changed to something where it produces statistics for fantasy players, commentary on ESPN, and highlights. And I understand that the Tony La Russa style of getting the most out of every at-bat, you know, have it go 10 or 12 pitches, wear out the pitcher. From the seventh inning on, you're using almost a pitcher for every out. And this may well be the best way to win, but it takes so long. It's boring. And the only thing I'm not looking forward to tonight is how late the game may run. It has become a game of bullpens, at least as much as starting pitchers. And look at what Andrew Miller has done for the Cleveland Indians. Who would have thought a middle inning relief pitcher might be the most important pitcher on their staff?
Boy, isn't that the truth. When you look at the connection, you mentioned the Yankees and you look at the Boston Red Sox, how connected are those two teams actually when you look at the players on the field to the two teams that we're actually watching in this World Series?
Well, you think that Theo Epstein, the general manager who broke the Red Sox curse, is the Cubs general manager. Terry Francona, the manager, and believe me, it's hard to manage in Boston because everybody is after you if you don't win every game. And how he survived 8 years here is a testimony. I mean, he could be in the United Nations. He's also an excellent manager on the field. The two managers, Joe Maddon, who's sort of universally considered the best manager in baseball, and I would have to agree, against Terry Francona, who might be the second best manager. So that's interesting. Then there's a whole number of ex-players. The Cubs took Anthony Rizzo, who had been in the Red Sox system. He had over 30 home runs for them. John Lester and John Lackey, who pitched the Red Sox to World Series, are on the Cubs. You know, David Ross, John Lester's personal catcher, came from the Red Sox. On the other side, Coco Crisp, the switch-hitting outfielder, who, by the way, knows how to box in case there's trouble on the field. He was an ex-Red Sox. So it's just really, really interesting. It's almost Theo versus Theo.
I love that, Theo versus Theo. And what's great about Theo is that he's so young, right?
Well, when he became the Red Sox general manager, he was 28. And you would know this if you lived in Boston, but your listeners may not know that Theo Epstein's father, Leslie Epstein, is a very good novelist, ran the BU Creative Writing Program, which I happen great uncle and grandfather, wrote Casablanca and many other Hollywood movies. So you're talking about an extremely talented family. And when I was in the BU writing program, I was working on the novel, The Cleveland Indian, a fictionalized version of that first Indian. And who knew that Leslie's 10-year-old son was going to be the general manager of the Red Sox and the Cubs? And I must tell you one Theo story. When he was 10 years old, he's watching the Red Sox. His father comes by and says, "Who's winning?" Theo doesn't even turn around and says, "The center fielder's playing out of position." So you're talking about a very intelligent and sharp family. And so I am somewhat divided knowing the Epsteins. Yes, I'd be happy if the Cubs won, but I am basically an American League fan. And having written about Louis Sokolexis, the original Indian and the original Cleveland Indian, I've got to pull for the underdog in this one.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. Been pulling for the underdog. The fact that the Cubs, it's just so funny, the fact that the Cubs finally got here, wasn't it interesting that Cub fans, are they always just expecting the other shoe to drop?
Well, it's interesting. Whether players feel pressure from a curse, they certainly feel pressure to win. Fans certainly do. Like, I believe there were two things constant in the universe, the speed of light and the fact the Red Sox would never win a World Series during my lifetime. Now they tell us some subatomic particles might go faster than the speed of light, and the Red Sox have won three times. And I don't want to do a spoiler alert for Cub fans, but it's interesting. When your team hasn't won, it's the Holy Grail. And I used to feel like I almost had to watch every game and root. I was willing to sell my soul for them to win the World Series, which maybe I did. And then they win, and they win a couple more, and it's wonderful, and you feel great for a couple of years. But now they're just sort of another team. You know, there's something absolutely magic about something you can't have.
Boy, and, that's a truth, isn't it?
You know, but on the other hand, you know, when the Red Sox won, and this will happen in either of the two cities, you had people going to cemeteries taking Red Sox hats and letters that said, "Grandpa or Dad, they finally did it." And there was a wonderful sense of good feeling. And so some good will come out of it, but then afterwards you look at it, it's like, oh, you know, we don't have the curse of the Bambino. We're not the goat curse. You know, we're not the Chicago Cubs. This happened to the Phillies in 1980. They had never won a World Series, and they won. And then a few years later, it's like, well, they're just another team. But that
you're just another team.
Yeah, that doesn't take anything away from how exciting it's going to be and how much the fans do care about it. And let's hope that Steve Bartman has let off the hook, that poor Notre Dame graduate who grabbed a ball, as any of us might have, in a playoff game, one in 03, and was just pilloried. Now, here, we pilloried Bill Buckner, but Bill Buckner was on the field when the ball went through his legs. That's a little different than a fan allegedly interfering with something. But I must say that scapegoats are always needed in the big, in the biggest stage. If you make a mistake, Super Bowl or World Series, it's in your obituary. It is never forgotten.
Boy, that's so, the truth. That is the truth. And never forgotten. I love it. This was great info. There's no question about it. The answer is baseball. The Cleveland Indian, Blue Eden in Hollywood and Sunset. Luke Salisbury, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, enjoy the game tonight.
Thanks. You too.
Bye-bye.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Get a ProPure with the Pro1G 2.0 cleanable reusable filter and remove up to 200 contaminants. Drink water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing.
received a complete line of ProPure products, including the new ProMax shower filter. There's a ProPure for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.